you have no idea how relieved I am that we are about to make that magical connection that we try and make every week. But over the last couple of weeks, it's been a bit hit and miss, mostly because my broadband been going wibbly wobbly, wibbly wobbly, and falling down a hole in the ground. And we booked to do a session today slightly earlier. It's just after 3 o'clock in the UK on the 17th, which means it's just after 7 o'clock in the place we're going to. But I've been sitting here on tenterhooks because normally Bruce is up and saying, I'm ready for you, my brother. I'm ready, ready, ready. Dial up whenever you want. And it was silent. There was nothing. It was almost like there was a blackout. And there have been interwobbly issues in Woodland Hills. But I'm glad to say, we've put 50p in the meter this end and a quarter in the meter your end. And hopefully the next voice you hear is Bruce K. Rosenblum.
And it is. We're here.
I think that
your internet wibbly woggly, whatever you called it, problems reached my house this morning because we've had some issues. But I think we're okay now. So let's...
I think I have to say that you jokingly said when we were doing our setup, you thought it was the weather. We find the weather affects it here. We've just come out of 3 days of Fabo summer temperatures in, for you, the mid-80s. But you at the moment are toasty roasty. And we were talking to our friend Bill Silcock a couple of days ago. He's up in the 120s, which is out of this world, isn't it?
Yeah. My sister lives in Palm Springs, and it's been hitting 120 there. But she says, you know, we're used to it. We've been here a couple of years, and it's a dry heat. And I said, dry heat? I don't care what kind of heat it is. 120 is 120, no matter how you slice it. It's not comfortable at all. So you've got to stay hunkered down inside. And we were supposed to go visit, but we canceled the trip because it's just too hot. But we've had our own, you know, the United States has been experiencing heat waves all across the country, especially in the Southwest, especially where Bill is in Arizona, Nevada, California. We've had in the Los Angeles area, we've had a whole week of 100 plus, you know, Fahrenheit degree temps this week, 107 yesterday. It's about 68 right now, but the sun is shining and it should start to spike up pretty quickly in the next hour or two.
So this is actually quite a comfortable time of day for you because it's just quite reasonable.
Early morning is. The problem with all this, though, but the good thing is that you don't have to heat the pool because the temperature will do that for you, but the water evaporates pretty quickly. And it's nice because even if the pool chills off and goes into, let's say, the 70s temperature-wise, because it's over 100 degrees, even though there's somewhat of a chill factor in the water, when you get out, that hot air just neutralizes it, and it actually feels kind of good. So it's a little refreshing. So that's fine.
You're talking to us on a day now when our weather is broken in the United Kingdom. It's cool and grey and damp, so you're making a lot of friends not. Now, we have some really, really big news to talk about. Let's just hold that fabulous news about the story of you and the congressman all the way through the programme, because really what's happened is quite extraordinary. But the other extraordinary thing is we've just said goodbye to your president, who's been on a whistle-stop tour of Cornwall. He met the Queen, and he also met some fairly distinguished people in Europe. Over here, I think he's played out extremely well. He's been repairing the damage the predecessor has done. And even with Putin, I think there were signs of a rapprochement, as they say. How's it been viewed from your neck of the woods?
I have to believe it's been received very well. I mean, I think that he did a great job on the world stage. I mean, he clearly let the world know that America's back, standing by our allies, making sure that democracies survive around the world. I think he had a great meeting with Putin yesterday, it sounds like. I mean, even Putin's media people gave him commendation for the meetings and how he handled himself. And I don't, you know, Joe doesn't pull punches, and he speaks from the heart, and he tells you how he feels, and then you deal with it. And I think that's how, you know, it was perceived. That's how it was received. I think he did a great job. I think, you know, you could just see the demeanor of all the world leaders when they were with him, the smiles, the palling around, the handshakes. I mean, it just felt good to have somebody who really knows what they're doing on the world stage when it comes to, you know, negotiating policy and just, you know, just being a good guy, you know, and a, you know, how they would say a mensch, you know, he's a, you know, it's such a breath of fresh air.
There was one remarkable shot yesterday. I was watching it with Debbie, and we were analysing it from a sort of body language point of view, and there were four of them. But the two you were focusing on were President Biden and President Putin, and they were in that classic photo shoot in the library in Geneva. And it was very obvious. We both said and looked at each other and said, look at Joe Biden's body language. He was relaxed. He wasn't leaning forward. His face was open and welcoming. And it was Putin who looked a little more uneasy. But as they were going in the front door and they turned to each other, and I think Joe said, we're going to go in. Let's smile to the cameras. Putin did. And I should call him President Putin. I shouldn't denigrate his office. And whilst there's a lot going on in the background and we could unpick it, and I was talking to Professor Brian Winston about a whole range of things, there did seem to be this sense, and I'm not looking at it with rosy-tinted glasses because you and I have been through what you've been through over the last 18 months or so, week by week. But there did seem to be that this man, Joe Biden, brings with him a depth of understanding, being vice president to Barack Obama and all the stuff that Barack got him to do in terms of negotiation and all that diplomacy, which President Biden is bringing to the office. And he rolled out, but he didn't throw it in people's faces. He didn't throw it into the G7 faces down in Cornwall. He didn't seem to throw it in people's faces when he went to Geneva for what could have been an incredibly tetchy and difficult conversation about NATO.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you're prepared, when you're buttoned up and you're comfortable in your own skin, you know, it's a big difference when you have a guy that shoots from the hip, has no idea what he's talking about, doesn't study, isn't prepared, doesn't believe the intelligence, you know, you get what you get. But then you have a guy who sits down, studies, who understands who he's dealing with. And knows how to be, you know, he knows how to compromise. He knows how to be diplomatic. Look, he's had his whole life has been in public service. You know, all those years in the Senate, he's got plenty of experience, and he was just comfortable in his own skin. And I think we will see. They set low expectations, but yeah, I think they came away with a lot of wins, and I think you'll see a lot of positive movement in the world going forward based on what he did. But, you know, it's really funny. You know, we live in a world of instant gratification now, probably due to what they call the gamification of the world, because of video games and the way kids are growing up and adults who've grown up through this era want instant gratification. So when somebody tells you they're going to do something, you know, things, and especially in Washington, things don't happen overnight. It takes time. You know, you have to work your way through compromise and you know, all sorts of machinations of legislation, and it takes time. But, you know, because of this, you know, these expectations for Biden were so high, and he's actually taking a hit in his approval ratings here at home, and he's taking the biggest hit with Democrats. Because
you're joking.
Because they feel that, you know, his approval ratings are sagging because they feel that he's run into some roadblocks with Congress, and he's now not getting some of the things done that he promised he would do.
Can't win, can he?
He can't win. He had great, you know, approval after, you know, all the COVID shots got out and into people's arms. He's getting high marks for that. But now the infrastructure bill, which people are very excited about, is hitting a lot of snags, and his approval rating has taken a big hit as a result of that, and people feel that the country's moving in the wrong direction. He's only been in office less than 6 months.
Give the guy a chance. Just remind us on the infrastructure. Am I right that it's basically making sure things work, like the roads, the bridges, and literally the infrastructure that holds the country together doesn't fall over and die?
Yeah, they want to, you know, improve, you know, or if you drive around our country, and I know that you have, you know, the roads are in need of repair, airports need to be updated, power grids need to be upgraded, charging stations need to be put in along roads because we have a lot of electric cars in the country now. Solar power is big. They want to start converting to clean air, clean energy, and do that. Our bridges, we've had issues with bridges over the last number of years where they've just, bridges have collapsed and caused catastrophic, the results as a result of them, bridges rusting through and falling down. It's like the whole is greater than the sum of the parts in a way, because a lot of the parts are starting to break down and the whole infrastructure seems like it's just in need of repair. We have rising water issues, drought issues. I mean, that are all part of this infrastructure that are caused by climate change, the fires, the tornadoes, the hurricanes. You know, it all impacts the infrastructure of this country in allowing us to be better prepared and have safer roads, safer drinking water, airspace that's not being intruded upon. So it's a lot of different things, but it comes with a hefty price tag. And of course, the Republicans are stating that they're going to, they make no secret about it. They're going to do everything they can to stop his agenda. And it's almost like, why would you want to stop an agenda that includes an infrastructure which will create more jobs and improve the quality of people's lives and improve the quality of the country? I don't understand it. I don't understand, why they are so driven to have the power of the presidency that they want to just, just distract and disrupt at every chance they get. What is wrong with these people? And then they're still trying to prove the big lie that the election was stolen from Trump. And many feel that Trump will be back in power by September. And it's ludicrous. It's crazy. It's a waste of time and it's a waste of money. And it's like, what part of destroying democracy do people not see that Trump was, leading? It's unbelievable.
Going back to what you were saying about his home lagging and sagging ever so slightly, my suspicion is because he's seen how this has worked through the Obama administration all through those 4 years, he's not going to be overly worried. As we just said, he's only, 3 or 4 months into his presidency, and there will be ebbs and flows. And, when the president leaves the country, some people will think, well, he's not looking after the country. How can he be when he's in America? Well, actually, the interesting thing was he left Europe slightly earlier than anticipated, caught most people on the hop. He wanted to fly back, having done all his stuff in the day in Geneva. But we do need to step back and just to give the guy and his team, Kamala Harris and the rest of the administration, time to sift things, let it settle, get on with the things that they can get on with, and then regroup with the infrastructure bill to see what they can push and what they perhaps have to backpedal on. We are temptingly going to be talking about the congressman in a minute, but talking about the lovely warm weather, that makes people want to get out and go and do seaside things and walking in the Sierra Nevada and all the rest of it. And you just said to me, and it made me twitch, because this week we've just learned that the UK is going to stay with restrictions for another 4 weeks. California, you declared, is open.
We are. Most of the country has been reopened. New York is like 90% reopened now. California is 100%. Like the whole year never happened. The floodgates have opened, and businesses are opening up. The other morning I went out to breakfast, I went out to lunch, and I went out to dinner, and I ate inside and I ate maskless, and it was never happened.
How does that make you feel?
For me personally, it really didn't. The transition into the pandemic and out of the pandemic is kind of seamless. It really didn't impact me at all. A, because I'm retired, and A, because I spend most of my time at home anyway, and I was able to I'm fine. I was fine bringing food in, rather than going out. I was fine not driving because I saved a lot of money on fuel. But seeing everybody, the worst thing is the traffic here is miserable.
Back to where it was.
It's like, didn't people like working from home and staying in and not driving? Yeah. I mean, the freeways are jammed. It's been just. I think it's going to take some time. I think people are so excited to be out, and everybody's out and just trying to compensate for a year of being kind of pinned down. So I think it's going to take some time. I mean, the prices for gasoline are over $5 a gallon in some places. In Malibu yesterday, it was almost $6 a gallon. We're talking about, $3, you know, a gallon just, you know, a year ago. So hotel room, you know, hotels, you can't get rental cars anywhere. The price of used cars are going up. The price of petrol is going up. The price of hotel rooms are going up. Airfares are starting to come back up now. And you're seeing, you know, prices, you know, are shooting up. It's like everybody's trying to make up for lost revenue, lost time, lost income. And it's, so I think that, you know, while everybody's rushing out and trying to get back into the swing of things, I think you have to be a little careful and you have to take a step back and give this some time to kind of settle back down. I just think that it's like, you know, when that dam builds up and you open the floodgates and that water comes rushing through, and then eventually it just kind of it all, whatever flows out, and it just starts to normally flow like it would, you know, on a regular basis. So I just think that we just have to take a step back and just wait for things to kind of renormalize again, because it's there's a lot of overcompensation right now.
Okay, you're going to take us on to
I'm sorry. So yesterday we went out to one of your favorite spots. We went out to the Paradise Beach Cafe in Malibu.
Fish and chips.
Where they made a lot of the old beach movies and they filmed Rockford Files. And we had a lovely day out there. It was really blistering hot, but it was nice to get out to the beach. And, you know, Disneyland is reopened, but we want to go, but we want to go with somebody. So we are holding, you know, we're going to hold off until you and Deb are out here. And then we would like to spend a day at Disneyland with you guys.
That would be fabulous.
I think it would be a lot of fun.
I was wondering whether that was going to be discussed between Joe Biden and Europe and the UK, but there's still this impasse about us flying into the United States. And quite rightly at the moment, because the reason we in the UK are having to hold off is the Delta variant, this is the double mutant variant, formerly called the Indian variant, is ravaging through the younger population who've not been vaccinated. And there's a significant issue with infections in the UK. And the last thing we want to do is to bring it over. So let's look forward, travel hopefully for this time next year, or maybe April next year, which is when we normally try and get over. But I'm super excited. I just want to get on to what you've been working on and what we haven't been able to talk about over the last couple of weeks because of internet issues. You and the congressman, you've really pulled it off, haven't you?
Yeah, we pulled it off. But hold on one second here. I want to just tell you that, you know, to finish up on Biden's trip to the UK, I loved how he described the Queen. He said she reminded him of his mother. and I thought that was just so cool, you know, that he talked so glowingly about her. And then at the same time, remember, you know, Meghan Markle had a baby while all this was going on.
That's true. Yep.
Lilibet Diana, right? Named after the Queen and Harry's mom. And, so in honor of that, we had lunch over at the Rib Ranch on Providence Street where she grew up as a kid.
Oh, very good. Patrick.
I don't know how that was all received in the UK, but
We were glad that she
did make some headlines here.
Yeah, we were glad. And also I think it was quite nice about the Lilibet thing, because that takes us back to when the Queen was growing up with her late sister. And Lilibet was the family name for Elizabeth. So yes, that was charming and I think raised a smile. And then of course people started to have a go at Meghan and Harry and all the rest of it, at which point I backed away from the savagery that is social media. Meanwhile, please tell us now.
And don't let me get off the air today without talking about my little dog Duke and what he's been doing.
And also we need you to talk about the Dodgers as well. But tell us about the congressman, because you have pulled off a blinder.
Okay, so after the last time we chatted, we said, well, you know, let me reach out to him and see what happens. Well, apparently I have his cell phone number, and when I sent a text to him asking him if he'd like to be on our show, I got a note back immediately saying, call this person who is our head of scheduling, and she'll take care of it. And so I did. I sent her a note. You and I together wrote a note to her about who we were and what we wanted to do. And we sent them a link to the broadcast, and they listened to it and they enjoyed it. And we have Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy is going to be a guest on our show on July 8th. And, you know, we've got about a half an hour slot with him, and you and I have come up with some areas of discussion. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to rely on your expert interviewing skills and segue skills to make sure we stay on point and we segue into as many topics as we can with him. But first and foremost, I want to understand is, you know, why did he call me and why did exactly. he care about me living in California? How do I help him?
Exactly. And, the man from Illinois calls a man in Woodland Hills, California. Why? I mean, that is the biggest question. And the fact that he's been up and his team have been up and the scheduler, we call it, not scheduler. You've got to learn to pronounce it properly, Bruce, if you're going to be on the British radio. His schedule. But I'm sure he'll say schedule. And in fact, let me tell you a funny aside. You wrote an email, which I then came in on the back of because we've had to fix up to do it by Zoom. And I noticed as I was typing, it was doing American spelling because the email was set up from the US English as against the UK English, the real English, of course. But anyway, joking apart, you really have pulled off a blinder. And it sounds like he's the nicest of guys because he really is up for a conversation which will take him from one side of the United States to the other side of the Atlantic. So there's just, you know, what we're going to get in this, hopefully half an hour, is going to be riches beyond compare.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a guest in house that morning. My son's father-in-law, Sandy, is from Illinois, and he actually was a constituent of Krishnamurthy's, or he would have been if he was living in Chicago. Because Krishnamurthy, I'll do an introduction of the congressman. I also learned that he's a big baseball fan. Right. He's a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan. And I'm taking Sandy to the Dodgers-Cubs game this Thursday. So we're going to have something to talk about with him about that. I also, my friend Ron Say, who played for the Dodgers, also played for the Cubs. I was going to see if he wanted to come over. But I think we'll just limit it to Sandy. And because, you know, there's not, if we had more time, we could make have a lot more fun with this. But we'll talk a little baseball, a little Cubs, a little politics, a little why the heck did he call me, a little social media. I the more I've been reading up on him, the more I like this guy. I think I've seen him interviewed on CNN. Very articulate, family guy. So it should be a nice conversation.
It's going to be fantastic. And that is July the 8th. It is a Thursday. We'll be doing the normal pre-recording because we've had to work out the time shifts and all the rest of it. And you'll be able to hear it at 5 o'clock on Thursday the 8th in the evening on Siren, but of course it'll go straight up on the podcast, so just go to sirenradio.podbean.com and look for American Cousins. It'll be there.
But does it surprise you that we're able to get such great guests? Because we know we are Edward R. Murrow Award winners.
We are, yes. Yeah,
people take us very seriously.
Yeah, I wonder why, but there we go. Yes, it's a great honor, and I just think it's absolutely fantastic. We were thinking possibly about trying to get our own local MP, Carl, involved, but as the congressman has a fairly tight schedule on that day, we don't want to overload the program, so I think we've got it tied as tightly as we can. You mentioned baseball. Dodgers, are they back online before we talk about your dog?
Yeah, we're one-third of the way through the season, of the 160-game season. We're about 60 games in. It's called reopening week this week at Dodger Stadium, full capacity, 52,000, the largest attendance of any baseball stadium in the country. And we won on the 15th, we won on the 16th, we lost last night. We are in a virtual tie for first place with our rivals, the San Francisco Giants. I think it's going to go all the way down to the wire. It's going to be a tough year. Dodgers have a lot of injuries, but they've been playing through them. But they've been a little inconsistent. But, yet, you know, an ugly win is a win nonetheless. So
That's an interesting expression.
Yeah, I mean, you can hit a 400-foot home run, which people love, or you can hit a 300-foot home run at Dodger Stadium. But as long as it goes, you know, that 1 foot over the fence, it's a home run. So it doesn't matter how far it is. It's a home run's a home run. And like I say, you can win big or you can win ugly, but a win's a win.
Indeed. Are you there?
Yes.
Good. Because the final thing we have to talk about, and I have to do a health warning here, is what your little doggies started to eat. And I have to say, if you are about to eat your supper, lunch, tea, dinner, breakfast, just be careful because, like all dogs, when they're growing up, they test things, don't they?
Well, yeah, and our little guy is eating poop. He's eating his poop. And it's not uncommon. Dogs will do that. And apparently it's not unhealthy for them if they do that for whatever reason. But it's just, you know, it's like, oh gosh, come on, you know, and And so if there's any veterinarians in our listening audience, if you have any ideas as to how to break a puppy of this habit, please let us know. let Andrew know at the station and get it back to me. We're going to be asking our vet. But, you know, it's so funny. There's a comedian here. He's kind of what they call like a redneck comedian. You've heard of Jeff Foxworthy?
Yes.
He does this whole thing about rednecks. And then there's another comedian. His name is Bill Engvall. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
No.
He is just hysterical. And what these guys do is they do these – they're like observational humor. Like they kind of like talk about things that go on in their lives and just make these situations that would be, you know, interesting situations. They make them hysterically funny. So I turned on comedy radio on Sirius Satellite on the Comedy Channel, and I was listening to Bill Engvall do one of his routines, and it was the routine about he and his dog. And he says, you know, one of the things that happened is he's noticed his dog started eating poop. And he says, my dog loves me. So what he would do is he'd go into the yard, he'd eat his poop, and then he'd run over and see me and he'd jump up and kiss me.
No.
And he'd lick me in the face. And he's talking about this. He says, so I went to the vet and I asked my vet, what do I do? And the vet says, why don't you try putting some steak sauce on it? And he says, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? Make it taste better for him? and the vet said, no, it'll deter him from doing it. It's so you know, it's the hot, it's the pepper. It'll so he said, so he went out and bought a bottle of steak sauce and poured it all over the food. And it didn't work. But I just think it's so funny. So what do you want me to do? Make it taste, we would make it taste better.
Well, I know we have lots of people with medical backgrounds listening to this podcast, and I'm hoping that your friend and mine, Dr. Nigel, because he has also had dogs in the past, so he may very well have some pithy advice, which we will make sure that we pass on to you. The other thing, of course, I could do is to talk to our double boss, Professor Abigail, who is the head of the College of Arts at the University of Lincoln, in which Siren sits, and she in a previous life trained as a vet, so I might just drop her an email as well. Don't quite know how I couch it. Dear boss, how do you stop I'll have to come up with a more subtle academic way of doing it, but hey, we understand
steak sauce is not the answer.
Yes.
Hey, we don't want meat tenderizer was the other thing they said. Try meat tenderizer. Yep. It's like, what do you want to do? We're not cooking a gourmet meal here. You know, we're trying to stop a habit.
Step away. Bruce, it's been, as ever, a real privilege and pleasure to chat to you. Looking forward, just a reminder to everybody, the Congressman, the big show is on the 8th of July. But all things being equal, the heat not challenging your internet and the wet not challenging my broadband this end, we should be able to link up again if it's all right with you this time next week.
It's always all right with me, Andrew. I can't. This is like the highlight of my week when you and I get on the air and we can just kind of be ourselves and chat. And, you know, hopefully people that are tuning in find it as interesting as we do when we have our weekly get together. So I'm here for you anytime.
You take care, and all the best from us to you.